Welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm your host, Laura Zaro-Popinski. I'm a librarian and writer, and my guest today is Raoul III, this year's Massachusetts Book Award winner for Vamos, Let's Go to the Market, which also won a Pura Belfry honor. Raoul is an illustrator, author, and artist living in Boston. His work centers around the contemporary Mexican-American experience and his memories of growing up in El Paso, Texas, and Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. He is currently working on the expanded world of his Vamos series and illustrating the fourth volume of the Lowriders series written by Kathy Camper. Raoul, welcome to A Bookish Home and congrats on the Massachusetts Book Award win. I'm excited to get to talk with you.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, it was so exciting. I received just a couple of days ago, I received a letter from Christine Barber, our state representative. And, you know, that was just so lovely. Such a great letter to get.
Oh, that's wonderful. I loved being a part of the process, and you know, it's just such an accomplishment. It's so exciting. I had the pleasure of getting as a juror just book after book after book sent to get to read and go over, and just the amount of talent in our state in the children's picture book and early reader category is just amazing. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't always, when I'm reading, look at where an author or illustrator's from. So just as I was going along, I just kept thinking to myself, they're from Massachusetts too, and they're from Massachusetts. And I mean, it's just wonderful. And so what an accomplishment to win. Yeah. And we're all so excited about your book. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Yes. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the process. And you know, you're absolutely right. I was also just, when I became a part of the industry, I was blown away by the amount of talent living in this state, you know, especially in, it seems that there's a large community of authors and illustrators in Western Mass. And it's pretty great to visit there and, you know, be surrounded by Jarrett Krasowska and, my memory is failing me now.
But Grace Lynn. I know Grace Lynn is out there too. Yep. Yeah, that's great. I know. And it's a strange year. I wish, you know, I guess in normal times, I had Michelle Hoover on who, you know, was the coordinator this year. And she said in normal times, everyone goes to the State House and there's a big ceremony. So that's a little.
I've received awards from Massachusetts for painting and drawing in fine arts category, and it's so nice to go to the capital and mingle with all of the other artists, and it would have been nice to do the same with the fellow authors and illustrators.
Well, hopefully maybe they'll have a different way of doing it in the future, or they'll maybe they'll combine a couple years when all this gets better. I'll back up a little bit for people who are not familiar with your Vamos books, and I should tell listeners too, there's a second one out now, which I love as well. And I guess I read that you're sort of continuing to develop the series. So I would love to just hear a little bit about the Vamos books, how they started, and kind of where you see this series going.
Yes. Well, the series came because I was asked by Kwame Alexander to develop a picture book idea for his new imprint, which is Versify. And Versify is an imprint under the HMH umbrella. And at the time I was finishing illustrations for the third Lowrider book, Lowriders, Blast from the Past. And he told me, and I think this is where the idea really came. He told me I had 1 week to pitch him an idea. And so,
oh wow.
And so really I just had to get to work and figure out exactly what I wanted to do. And I just started jotting down various ideas because I knew that I wanted to, my dream was always to create, a universe where I could take characters that exist in one book and spin them off into their own series, or their own titles. And so I started to create a fictional border town that was very much influenced by the border town that I grew up in as a young boy, which was El Paso, Texas, and Juarez. And then as I developed this, I started to create characters. And those characters you find in that first book, which is Vamos, Let's Go to the Market. And I filled that book with so many details, and I made the world so believable that I knew that there was infinite number of stories that I could begin to tell with the foundation that I set forth in that first book. And luckily enough, the titles kind of lend themselves to endless possibilities. And so you have Vamos, Let's Go to the Market. Vamos, Let's Go Eat. The third book, which we just finished, is Vamos, Let's Cross the Bridge, which will be followed by Vamos, Let's Go Read.
Oh, that's so exciting. So four books already in the works. That's great.
Four books in the works. And then we also have, in the first book, we introduce our readers to the world of wrestling. In particular, Little Lobo's hero, who is this masked wrestler known as El Toro. El Toro, in the first volume, you see him in the backgrounds, and his face is always concealed because he lost his mask somehow. And so at the end, we finally reveal who he is. And this April, our young readers will be able to read all about El Toro and his friends in his own line of books, which will be early reader books. And those books are El Toro and Friends. And we're starting out this April with the first two books in the series being published on the same day. And that's Training Day and Tag Team.
That's wonderful. Well, I definitely think for librarians and teachers, these are must purchases. And I think, one of the things we talked about as jurors that we loved about it was, you could pore over, Vamos, Let's Go to the Market for hours as a child. And, we loved, I feel like this is a book that kids and teachers and parents will enjoy reading and rereading. And I think one of the reasons is, the illustrations are so, there's so many things to find in them, and they're so detailed. And it just made me wonder, I know you said that you had a week to pitch the book. What was the process like, kind of deciding on the style of the illustrations? And then, of course, what was the process like creating this whole world? And the colors are so rich. There's so much to it, and it's such a, it really is such a work of art. So what was all of that like, and how did you figure out what you wanted it to all look like?
So it was an interesting process because during that time I was really overwhelmed with a lot of the projects that I had that I was completing. So I was completing a lowrider book. I was completing a graphic novel with David Bowles, and simultaneously, I was also working on SpongeBob comics. And so, I knew that fitting in this new series was just going to be incredibly taxing. But one thing that I love about being an author and an illustrator and being an artist in general is collaboration. And so collaboration has always been something that is incredibly important to me, and something that also just excites me, whether it's illustrating Kathy Camper scripts, David Bowles scripts, Matthew Ringler scripts, or working with a letterer as I did in with a SpongeBob comics, or a colorist. And so I knew that if I was going to get this book done in time to be released as a flagship title under the new VersaFi imprint, I was going to have to collaborate with someone. And fortunately, I live with an incredibly talented artist, my wife, Elaine Bay. And so Elaine is also a child of the frontera, the border. And so we decided that we would create these books together, and she is my colorist. And so we did a lot of outreach. So for instance, for this first book, Vamos, Let's Go to the Market, I grew up as a little boy visiting the Mercado Cuauhtémoc in Juarez, because my family worked there. My mom worked there. My aunts and uncles worked there. My grandmother worked there. And as a matter of fact, a large portion of my family still works there. And so I called my prima Annette, and asked her to send me photographs of the booths. And really, it was to just kind of reignite my memory of what I recalled the booths looking like. And fortunately, not much had changed, but I still used her photographs. And then Elaine and I took a trip down to El Paso, visited family, and just really took in the border. So everything from how it feels. Elaine took many photographs of how the sun affects the color, so on and so forth. And then for me, in terms of cartooning, well, I'm a student of American cartooning, and I really, again, wanted to create a cartoon universe, something that was new, but simultaneously was well-rooted in cartooning history. And so I just began to create characters that I felt would be perfect to populate the world of Vamos.
One of the things I love is just how alive the market feels in the book. And what kind of feedback are you getting from kids about the books? Because I would imagine, you know, I'm not in my school library anymore, but this is the kind of book that I feel like we would have had a really hard time keeping on the shelf, that the kids would have been fighting over it. So I'm kind of just wondering what that's been like, although I'm sure it's kind of a hard time to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a hard time to figure that out. The second book, Vamos, Let's Go Eat, you know, it kind of came out right as we were beginning to shut everything down. But just from all of the Zoom classroom visits that I've been doing, yeah, it seems that you're absolutely right. Kids, the librarians are telling me this book is constantly checked out. We can't keep it in stock in our library. And then kids are reading and rereading this book. They're finding new details. They're becoming enamored by characters that they notice are appearing and reappearing from one spread to the next. And that's really what my main goal for creating this book was to draw a book that felt like a real community, where characters were constantly interacting with each other, and also to create a world that was unpredictable, you know, because for me, as I'm drawing it, a lot of the actions that are happening are unpredictable to me, and I don't come up with them until I'm actually putting ink on paper. And so there's a lot of spontaneity that I wanted to show my readers, because that's kind of what happens in real life. Sometimes you just do not know what's going to happen when you walk around your neighborhood or your town square.
I love that. And as you're talking about, you know, kids getting the books from libraries, I have to give a shout out. I'm at a public library now, and if anyone's listening, who your kids are loving Vamos, and maybe you already have your own copy or you got it from the library. Another really cool thing is I went on Hoopla, if anyone's library has Hoopla, and they have a couple versions of, or maybe they just have it for Vamos, Let's Go to the Market. We watched it this morning, so we've read the book obviously many times, but they have on Hoopla a read aloud, kind of read along version where they almost turned it into like a little book movie that you can check
out.
Isn't
that cute?
Oh, it's so cute. I watched it with my daughter this morning and she was just, you know, fascinated. and it's cool.
I was blown away by that little cartoon video. It was really surprising to me to see how which details they brought to life, you know?
Yes, I thought that was one of the fun things about it, because, you know, obviously she's familiar with the book from reading it a bunch of times, and it was kind of fun to see like a new take on it. And so I would just say to classrooms where your kids are big fans of the books, or for parents, if your library has Hoopla, head on there, because I think that kids would really enjoy seeing sort of this ebook read-along version. That's really fun too. And the other thing they do really well in there that's sort of a fun take on it at the end, because I know you have a glossary, and I want to talk about this too, about how the book is bilingual, but I thought they do the glossary at the end so well, because they zoom in on all the different, so like they'll zoom in on, you know, I'm looking in the glossary now, like a piece of candy, and it'll say like el dulce candy, and so like it's a fun way for the kids to learn all the different words or see the, you know, the Spanish and English versions. What was your approach like in terms of creating a bilingual book? Because you do that so well as well. And I'm sure that that is really exciting for kids to see too.
Yeah, well, that's one of the great things about this series is that we could really focus what vocabulary to emphasize by the subject of each book. And so for the Mercado book, of course, we try to bring to light a lot of the words that you might discover at the mercado, or things that are being focused at the mercado, like burro, donkey, sombrero, hat, títere, puppet, so on and so forth. And then in the food book, well, we focus in on food. On the bridge book, we will focus on vehicles. On the reading book, we'll focus in on books. But I really think about it in terms of how, when you visit, for instance, in any major city, a part of town, for instance, like Chinatown, where you go in and suddenly you start seeing all sorts of signs in Chinese, and you try to make connections to the sign and what you're looking at, and hopefully, those connections become more readable the more you see them. And so in our book, you see a hat and then you see the word sombrero. Hopefully you make the connection that sombrero must mean hat. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much how I approached teaching vocabulary with these books.
That's great. And I love that there is sort of that different theme for the vocabulary in each book. I just imagine them all sitting together on the shelf in the library, and it makes me very happy.
I know. I can't believe that. And just, I think by 2022, there will be 10 books out.
Wow.
So I can't wait to see them all together.
Yes. And I can't wait to see the early readers too. That'll be really fun. And the other thing I love, I feel like I was always looking for picture books that would appeal to a really wide range of readers. And this is the kind of picture book that I feel like, you know, I could see older kids enjoying so much. Like I would have imagined reading it to fourth and fifth graders the same as I would have read it to kindergartners. I feel like they would all enjoy it for different reasons. And I could see all the comic fans really poring over it. So that's really wonderful. And it made me wonder too, you know, what was sort of your path to becoming an illustrator? And were you a big reader as a kid? Sort of how did that come about?
Yeah, I was a big reader as a kid. I was also a big TV watcher as a kid and a big movie watcher as a kid. I loved comic books. I loved toys, and I loved drawing. And so I think just this passion for all of the above kind of led me to where I am today. Yeah. I was also a big follower of individuals. And so I remember becoming obsessed with creators. And so early on, I really loved Disney. I loved Todd McFarlane, Stan Lee, so much so that I even learned how to forge their signatures, you know, and because I knew that they had unique signatures. And I thought, well, if I can learn how to sign their names, it'll help me figure out a way to create a signature for myself, a signature style for myself. And so I think as a kid, learning a lot about their lives and how they went about creating their universes, their cartoon characters, it really helped me understand how I could go about doing something similar. And so all of these things, just, I think, you know, my love of cartoons, my love of movies, you can see it in each and every one of my books.
I love that. And what is sort of a typical day like for you now? You have so many different projects in the works.
Let's not talk about last week, though.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't count. I'll say we're talking right after the election, and I think nobody had a normal week last week. But in a, let's say maybe like this week, what you expect a typical day to be like.
Yeah. So like at the moment, I'm currently working on the Lowriders to the Rescue. I'm also creating illustrations for the Cocorocho board books. He's the little cockroach that appears in the Vamos series. And then I also have to turn in the script for the third El Toro book. And so this morning I was working on the script. I'm also going to polish up some of the pages that I have to do for Lowriders. I try to finish 6 Lowrider pages per week. And I do 6 pages per week because I know that if I do it every week, I'll be done with a Lowrider book by January. And so I try to just keep kind of maintain a schedule like that. So I'll finish 6 pages of Lowriders. I'll try to create 6 pages of whatever Vamos series I'm working on. And I'll try to also stay on top of writing scripts. So it's kind of like a juggling act.
Do you find it? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, do you find it hard to sort of switch between projects once you sort of get in the headspace for one, or is it sort of refreshing to have the variety?
Well, one of the things about working on these projects is that they're all kind of in different stages, you know? And if they were all, for instance, at the beginning stage, then it might be somewhat overwhelming. But with the Lowrider series, I'm working on final art now. And so everything, every creative aspect of it has kind of been already decided. I've already laid out the entire book. So now I'm just polishing it up and making it look good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't require too much brain space. Matter of fact, I could listen to books while I'm doing that.
Oh, there you go. And then,
Which is nice because I could work on some inking while I'm listening to this book called Ohio right now. And so that keeps me motivated to keep drawing because I'm so involved in the characters from the book Ohio.
That's very cool.
Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I have to work on a script now. And that's difficult because for me anyhow, I have to have a completely quiet room. There's no music I can listen to. There's no, you know, any background noise I can have. It's just, okay, what is going to happen in this third book. But yeah, it's really exciting. I really love having my own universe of books to work on.
It sounds like a very full creative life, and yeah, I just would imagine as you're doing Zoom visits and all of that with classrooms that it is really inspiring for kids. Is there anything, you know, anything you say to them in particular in terms of advice for kids that want to, you know, grow up and be an illustrator too, or an artist or an author? What kinds of advice do you give to kids?
Yeah, well, I try to just give the advice that I did as a kid. So copy drawings, like find drawings that you really love, and try drawing them yourself, because the more drawings that you copy, the more all of these various approaches and styles to drawing will begin to absorb into your own brain. And before you know it, you'll start to mash all of these different styles up and create your very own approach to how to draw. Another thing is, find heroes early on, like I mentioned earlier, knowing how many pages a week Jack Kirby had to draw. When I learned that as a kid, oh my God, he's had to draw 20 pages a week. That means I have to try to get to a level where I can draw 20 pages a week. Having somebody else's plan and making it my plan really helped me achieve what I have achieved so far. So choose your heroes early on, copy other people's drawings, and then eat and digest as much as you possibly can. So for me, that was reading books, watching movies, watching cartoons, reading comics, and just taking it all in as much as I possibly could.
I love that. Well, that is the perfect segue to my last question. I always like to hear what guests are reading. And I know you mentioned the book Ohio. Is there anything else that you've been reading lately that you'd want to recommend?
Yes. My friend, Lamar Giles, he has a book that just came out. I think it came out last week. It's called The Last Mirror on the Left. And it's a follow-up. It's a follow-up to his last book featuring the legendary Alston boys. And as usual, my memory is failing me. the name of that last book. But Lamar Giles's new book, The Last Mirror on the Left, is awesome. Oh, the last book was called The Last Day of Summer. So Last Day of Summer was the first book in the series. The second one just came out, The Last Mirror on the Left. And following the legendary Alston boys on their adventures is, one, hilarious, and there's just so much imagination in each and every one of these books that you're going to have a wonderful time reading them. There's great illustrations by this artist named Dapo that will just like kind of fill in the blanks for you and help you like imagine this world even further. So the books by Lamar Giles, I highly recommend them.
Oh, fantastic. And I'll link to all of those and to all of your books. I hope people go and pick those up at a local bookstore or at your library. And Raul, congrats again on the Massachusetts Book Award. And thank you for speaking with me. It was really wonderful to get to hear all about your process.
Hey, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you. And I hope to meet you one day.
Oh, yes, me too. when life gets a little more normal.
For links to all of the books mentioned on this week's episode, you can visit abookishhome.com. And there you'll also find a link to our new online bookshop. A Bookish Home has teamed up with the new organization bookshop.org, which supports independent bookstores. And if you'd like, you can browse books by authors who have been guests on A Bookish Home. I'm also sharing there all the books mentioned on the podcast, books I've been reading lately, and other recommendations. It's a really wonderful site to browse, and look through books. And if you make a purchase, it supports A Bookish Home and independent bookstores. So it's a win-win. So if you want to check that out directly, it's bookshop.org/shop/abookishhome. And you'll also find that at abookishhome.com. If you are enjoying the show, I hope you take a minute to subscribe and also rate and review in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would encourage you to share it on social media to help other people find the show and this episode. Thanks for listening, everyone, and happy readings.